Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our multi-county listening area in central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, here with my co-host, Gina McAndrews. Hi, Gina.
Hello, Susan, and hello to all of our listeners. It's been a little while since I've been your co-host. I think it was not since we went to the White Rock Conservancy. But I remember when we were out there that we vowed to come back to Jefferson when we could.
That's right, Gina. And I thought this was the right time. This will be a good break for us. This whole show should be fun. We'll start with a road trip to Jefferson, taking a quick tour of downtown and hearing about the changes that the Main Street designation has made for them. Then we'll have guests to tell us about two events coming up the first week of February. Burr, the bike ride to Rippey, and lots of laughs with KHOI's own national celebrities, Tom and Doug. It'll be Doug Gentile who'll be coming on.
Well, we've got a busy morning. Let's get started.
That's the sound from the Mahaney Bell Tower, which we heard as we drove into Jefferson. Pat Richards, Mahaney Bell Tower tour guide coordinator, was there to greet us. She took us up in the elevator and showed us the town from the top of the tower.
Unfortunately, that recording had a lot of echo to it, and so it was hard to use.
Right, and of course what you really need to do is to be able to see the view from the tower. But fortunately, there is YouTube. Mahaney Bell Tower, Jefferson, Iowa, Travel USA, Mr. Peacock and Friends, Hidden Treasures. It will be on our website if you click Read More beneath the description of today's show. It shows the view better than we saw it since it was filmed on a clear day, a sunny day. It's got a lot of other stuff about Mr. and Mrs. Peacock, but the view is terrific. The only thing is that the video was made before the rooftop art, and we'll have to talk about that. That is pretty unique. There were two finished installations of rooftop art.
Yes, they were terrific. Both on each side, and then there was a third side that is scheduled to start this spring.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be doing a rooftop a year for, and there are a lot of rooftops up there.
And there, yes, that's true. There's a lot of surface space, and it's quite a view. You can really see. It was interesting they had all of the towns labeled on each of the windows,
yes,
to which direction they were, and you could really see a long way, and it was really nice. You walked in, there was an elevator to take you up, there was a little entrance with some history, and they actually rented it out up there for weddings and fundraisers and all sorts of events.
It would have to be a small wedding.
That's true.
Well, then the next stop was the Greene County Courthouse. It is only a few feet from the bell tower in the middle of City Square. That means that instead of simply having a single main street, Jefferson has four blocks of buildings surrounding the square. While this is by no means unique for Iowa, Jefferson seems to be taking full advantage of it, of this extended main street. At our tour of the courthouse, we learned of an early promotion of Greene County that is reflected in the county seal. Here's what Don Van Gilder told us.
And the first thing people see when they come into the courthouse is this tile mosaic in the center of the rotunda. And it's a cornucopia with corn spilling out of it. And, of course, it says Greene County, Iowa, the land of plenty. Prior to this courthouse being constructed in 1915, a local seed corn company, Zeller Seed Corn Company in Greene County, took 400 bushels of Iowa corn out to San Francisco to participate in the San Francisco Exposition. And they wanted to promote Greene County, Iowa, as a corn-growing county and, in turn, Iowa as a corn-growing state, because it was not really well-known that Iowa was a corn-growing state at that time. Well, lo and behold, they fashioned this cornucopia and had 400 bushels of Iowa corn spilling out of it as the land of plenty, and they ended up winning the contest for exhibitors at the San Francisco Exposition.
Wow.
And so then the Board of Supervisors thought that that would be a good thing to incorporate into the courthouse and then began to become our logo for the county.
I guess it could be the logo for the state. But the whole 1915 courthouse is pretty impressive. It's in Beaux Art design, the same style as the Iowa State Capitol. And like the Capitol, it has balconies overlooking the central rotunda and curving ornate staircases. And unlike the Capitol, it doesn't have a golden dome. It has a stained glass ceiling, domed ceiling. It was under repair when we were there, but we saw a photograph of it. It's really a gorgeous, must be a very spectacular thing to walk into that rotunda and look up.
Another interesting point at the courthouse was the fact she was telling us about when they built it, they didn't even bother to put a women's restroom in the courthouse, and that was added on many years later after the women had the right to vote. Because early in the day, they didn't think women should be around the courthouse.
That's right. So, well, here we are, how far we've come.
Another project at the Tower View team is a sculpture park in front of the courthouse.
Yeah, and just a minute. We didn't have time for the clip from the Tower View team, but Deb McGinn, who is the chair of the Tower View team, told how that came about. In order to get the Main Street designation, which has been so important for their development, they had to have meetings with a lot of townspeople. What would you do if you, you know, won this grant? What would you do for your town? And in the brainstorming session, she put up at her husband's instigation, he said, you put up your tower idea, put up your rooftop idea. And her idea was to have art on the rooftops that you could see from the top of the tower. And it won as one of the things that they should do and all the crazy things they put up for the brainstorming. And so she has been chair of that, and it's an important – we have a regular tower top committee, or I guess it's the – Tower View team.
Right. Yes, it's a very interesting project.
It just came from a brainstorm, and it's truly unique to Jefferson, I think. That kind of art, just looking down on all those flat roofs with art installations, will be something one of these days.
And then there's the sculpture park.
Yes, the sculpture park in front of the courthouse. Every year there is a contest for sculptures that will incorporate bells. Citizens vote for their favorites, and the three winners will stand in front of the courthouse throughout the year. I think they had five or six this year. And instead of having a judge come, just have citizens vote.
Yes, and the most popular three won, and they had three very different...
And very, really beautiful, especially the...
Well done.
There was one that was like you like the bicycle. I like the gongs.
Yes.
And it must have played. I don't know whether when the wind blew, but it was really, that was a nice addition.
Yes, and that was sponsored by the city and the bank.
Yes, and of course, there are financial awards for the artists, which are provided by Home State Bank, one of the three banks in Jefferson. The Home State Bank is worth visiting just to see the art hanging there. We had been tipped off some time ago when we looked at the art down in the South Story Bank that there was another Garst Bank in Jefferson. And so we were primed to see it. And it was actually more like an art gallery than the one in Huxley. The art is all... There's a lot against the wall that you can see right when you walk in. It's on two walls facing each other. And the offices that also have these large paintings, mostly rural Iowa landscapes.
They all have large windows.
They have large windows, so you can see into them just as soon as you get there. And it's really quite stunning.
And then it was really nice, too. They had a one whole wall that was designated for local artists that they changed every month.
Yes, and we were with the curator for that. Roger Egerter, and he is also a retired art teacher and curator of the Greene County Historical Museum. So he stepped in as our tour guide at that point.
And on the way there, then we walked through Sally's Alley and the Jefferson Garden. That Sally's Alley was really a unique, interesting feature. They had beautiful benches and lifelike but gigantic birds.
Bird
paintings.
Photographs.
Yes.
Not
photographs, right.
Photographs that were carefully mounted in the windows of this the buildings. That
older
had,
brick building.
Yes.
And Sally had taken them out of her window.
Yes, Sally,
over several years.
Sally White. Yes, after she retired, she just thought, well, I'll just take some pictures out my kitchen window. And she must have had a good camera because these are some pretty nice bird pictures. and then
the block's facing the courthouse, so it's right near the courthouse. So right from the courthouse, you can go down the narrow strip.
Yeah, we walked through Sally's Alley on the way to Jefferson Garden, as well as on the way to the Historical Society.
And then the next time, we came to a full block of walkways and flower beds with a life-size bronze of Thomas Jefferson sitting on a bench, just like he was welcoming people to his place. And it's facing a brick building with white columns that used to be an old bank and also an old gas station.
Roger Egerter was our guide for this, and he told us that Thomas Jefferson was a friend of Nathaniel Greene, the Revolutionary War hero that Greene County is named for. So let's listen in on his explanation of the garden.
And obviously we're walking by now Thomas Jefferson Gardens. Wallace T. Garden, about 7 or 8 years ago, he was from Jefferson, but was a lawyer in Ames for many years, decided that he had a great passion for Thomas Jefferson and all he did for Louisiana Purchase and for his inventions and stuff, and so said he wanted to make a statue, and here's the statue sitting here. He wanted to have a statue and put it up on the square someplace in recognition of Thomas Jefferson, and we brought in some people to kind of look it over, and we decided the square was a little bit too crowded already to put something like this on it and to build around it in a little garden. So he donated more money. We started raising money, and we bought this quarter square block, and there were some buildings on it, but we had them torn down, and so started making a garden. And this building was already sitting here, and it's just being finished now, the interior. It's going to hopefully become a welcome center for Jefferson and an educational center for everything around here.
So this brick building was already here.
But it used to be a garage. At one time on Lincoln Way, back in the 30s, from Jefferson's town limit on one side, east to west, there were 11 gas stations in town. And there was a gas station that sat here, too. Anyway, so this is Thomas Jefferson Gardens.
Must be lovely in the spring and summer.
It really is beautiful. It really is. There's four different gardens. There's a prairie garden. There's a farmer's garden. There's a children's garden. And there's a rose garden.
All here?
All, yeah. So this is the prairie garden that signifies what Iowa looked like during Jefferson's term of office when the Louisiana Purchase. And we don't do anything to it. Planted prairie garden, flowers and stuff that were original during that time, and we've just kind of let it go.
They have incredible volunteers that are here every day maintaining.
I want to tell you one other thing about this plow right here. It's a design of Thomas Jefferson's. And he designed a plow, and it's made out of wood because back then they had a fear against metal, that metal polluted the ground. It was bad for the plants. They had metal in the ground, so they made it out of wood. But there's a 2x4 on the side over here and the rungs there that are wood, oak wood, from Monticello. One day we had a guy, Robbie Peterson, made this plow for us. And one day a guy walks in because he was interested in wood, and he said he was from Monticello. He said, would you like some wood from Monticello to put in this? And of course, Robbie said, of course. And so he incorporated a 2x4 and the rungs across there. So that's wood, supposedly from a tree that they think might have been growing when Thomas Jefferson was there.
This is Local Talk, and I'm one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with Gina McAndrews. And we are in Jefferson. We've got a little road trip to Jefferson for the first part of the program. So we will continue walking through the town. We then went to the Historical Museum, and we can't take much time for that, but it is a very nice little historical museum. It has something quite unique. It has 400 Barbie dolls that were donated by a woman who's no longer could find a place for them. They fill four cases. And I saw that there's a big exhibition in Toronto right now with 1,000. So, you know, you can see almost half that much in Jefferson.
Right. It's really a terrific museum. I mean, there's a lot of materials. One person donated a lot of artifacts from Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
There's a lot of paintings. There's also some Barbie dolls along with a stand that they once used for prom. All the kids would get their photos taken in it, and so that's one of their big features is that people want to get their picture taken. But they also have a lot of time-era old radios and little rooms that are designated back in the time.
One of the things that I always used to like in big historical museums were the rooms. They have four furnished rooms, so they have a whole house of furnished rooms, the living room, dining room, bedroom, and kitchen. They also use the museum as an auditorium. They rent it out for parties and performances. They were proud to say that a few days before they'd heard from David Jepson, longtime political columnist for the Des Moines Register. He also happens to be a Jefferson native. When we left the museum, we headed for the Main Street office to talk with two of the movers and shakers of Jefferson, Peg Rainey, director of Jefferson Matters, and Deb McKim of the Tower View team.
Jefferson is doing what we can to attract the millennials. These are people that are looking for quality of life in the communities for their to raise their families. And Jefferson is in a great location in the state. Jefferson Telecom offers Wi-Fi, strong signals so that someone can work from their home easily, which a lot of millennials are doing. But they can have the quality of life that they're looking for, a great school system. Their kids can get on a bicycle and they can ride to the theater to have, you know, go to a movie or to the swimming pool and know that they're, you know, they're very safe. They're going to have a great time with their friends. We hope to have more and more shops for people to be able to get everything that they need here in Jefferson. So that's what our goal is, to attract some of those people back.
That's great. And the bowling lanes, too.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
that's
mentioned
fun,
that.
Yeah.
Where are your bowling lanes?
We went right by them. They're by the...
Just another block to the east of the bell tower and a block to the south. It's called Spare Time Lanes. Amazing. They've done a huge renovation with neon lights and...
They have glow-in-the-dark bowling. It's so much fun.
Yes.
Oh, do they?
They have lots of leagues and league nights. And
we have a great theater, too, movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the digital and the three, you know, you get the 3D glasses and that kind of thing. And my grandson loves it. So, and real good prices to come to the movies.
You bet.
You know, in the city, it's really difficult to go to a movie with a family.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's so expensive.
$8.
Yeah,
$10.
Right, yeah. And it's not here.
What
so
is it
it's
here?
Really good. It's $4, I think.
Yeah. So we went to Fences
and they have
the other night this weekend. So we have some of the newest.
They have the new releases, and so just come to Jefferson movie.
Do they have two or three? Or
just one.
Just one theater, right, just one.
And it'll stay for a week. Next week, they're going to do Classics Week with a different classic movie each couple of days all the way through the week. They've done this before, and a lot of people are really interested,
in going and doing it, so it's fun.
Yeah.
That's great.
You haven't mentioned your library.
Oh,
our library is awesome.
It is. It's terrific.
The children's library is outstanding at the library. So
they have activities all the time. Our school system lets out on Wednesday afternoons for teacher in-service. And the library, the rec center, it's all located just right here in a couple blocks. So lots of activities available. And we have a number of churches. We have 13 churches in our community. And a lot of them have activities for students. We have a place called the Web House for young people, middle school age and high school. that did a huge renovation. And, you know, I know there are a lot of other communities that are trying to get a youth center that kids enjoy going to, and this is it.
This is it. They need to come and talk to the Web House people because they really are, have had great success.
It's ecumenical. So, all the yes. churches mm-hmm. are involved in helping bring supplies and food to them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to know what being a Main Street designated community has done for you.
It really did come together when we got the designation of Main Street. People really started to be interested in it, take notice of the buildings. We had an empty building tour, which we called the Tour of Possibilities, and we opened up all of the businesses that were vacant, all the buildings that were vacant, just the way they were, so people could see the condition of those buildings, and people really decided we needed to do something right then and there. So I think with that, and that was a Main Street thing that we did, and I think it just brought a lot of notice to the downtown. I think once you live in a community so long, you just kind of drive by and you think, oh, well, that building's been there for such a long time. But this way, you really looked at the building and you looked at it with different eyes.
And what year did that start?
The empty building tour was a year and a half ago.
Yes.
So just a year and a half ago. And that got the city involved with Main Street more. They decided they needed to do something too. And so with PEG and the Economic Vitality team, they have some really cool things going on for business owners that would like to come to Jefferson and entrepreneurs that would have an idea for a building. So,
well, after the empty building tour, our city decided to acquire three of the downtown buildings, the empty buildings, and develop a plan so that the city council has committed $150,000 into each of these three buildings of TIF money. And the first thing they did was get a good roof on it and take care of the asbestos. And then they're looking at having a business come in who have a good plan and have historic preservation in mind when they're doing the renovation. And so our first building is ready right now, and this is the Kendall building right on Lincoln Way, and the building owner is Rosie and Ray Tucker. They'll be opening a boutique called Sensibly Chic, and we hope that that will open here yet this spring. They're doing their renovation right now. They're in there every day working on it. The plan is to have their boutique on the downstairs and have a living space above, which is another element that Main Street likes to promote, is second-story living. Some of the other buildings, 205 North Wilson is just down the street from the Bell Tower, and we're working on it. Main Street gives some volunteer help. We have work sessions so that things don't cost too much, and we've got a lot of great volunteers that help. We're hoping that that building will be ready here next. And then another building on State Street was acquired, and it now has some of the tuck pointing done. The next step will be a new roof. So we have three buildings that are ready to have a business take a look at, and in terms of using the historic preservation practices that we've all learned about.
And then one of the most recent changes to Jefferson is its relationship with the Wild Rose Casino. And I was interested and surprised by what Peg and Deb had to say about that.
Well, we're thrilled to have Wild Rose in Jefferson. It's gained a lot of popularity with bus tours and groups of people. We see carloads of people with different license plates from all over come.
And they're coming downtown.
Yes. So we have a good relationship with them, so they know about all our restaurants and activities in our downtown, and we try to do what we can to promote people to come out to the casino as well.
I was told that they were big supporters of the arts.
They are, but I think Home State Bank here in Jefferson really is a grand supporter of the arts. And we are very fortunate to have them. Like the three sculpture pieces on the courthouse Plaza that you probably saw today. They sponsored the monetary prizes for that without hesitation. And they took a chance on Tower View team, and they really liked what we did, and so they're going to sponsor us again for this next summer. So we've already got that in the works, so that's a great thing. So, yeah. And as far as Wild Rose, they're doing a lot of things with promotions. I'm the promotion chair of Main Street also, and I've taken things out there, and they've run them on their televisions for us out there in the gaming area for us that promote businesses downtown. They're helpful. They're partners, I guess.
I think it's time for our station break. This is KHOI Community Radio, featuring the people, places, and events in our listening area in central Iowa. Today, your hosts are Susan Franzen and Gina McAndrews with a road trip to Jefferson in Greene County at the western edge of our listening area. After a whirlwind tour of the Mahaney Bell Tower with Pat Richards, the Greene County Courthouse with Don Van Gilder, the Home State Bank, Sally's Alley, and the Jefferson Gardens with Roger Agenter, we ended by talking with Peg Rainey, director of Jefferson Matters, and Deb McGinn of Tower View Team. Deb's son, whose stage name is Art Elliott, now works as a professional artist or professional performer in Oakland, California. A summer ago, he was home for a visit and went back to California, where he wrote this song, "This Town Is Changing."
Every time I come back home, I see that things are changing. From my family to old school friends I haven't seen since graduation. Please excuse the old cliche. Seems like only yesterday I was there, riding my bike around the square. May come back only once a year, but I feel I never left. It's where my childhood is kept. I've got some things in a box upstairs, but it's all over town. All I've got to do is look around. But Lincoln Way feels a mile too short. Where the school was stands a food court, and all my old friends have long since moved away. This town is changing, but let my memories stay.
This is KHOI, and we have live guests here in the studio now. We've left Jefferson, but not very far in our story. We're talking about an event that's coming up in Rippey, just a few miles to the south. Our guest is Jim Hurley.
Thanks for having me.
And he is going to tell us about something coming up that, I guess, puts Rippey on the map, right? Burr.
Yes, it does. How appropriate. It's called Burr. It's Bike Ride to Rippey, and it originated in 1978. It was my dad, Dennis Hurley, and his friend Jim Wallstrom wanted to do something in the winter. He's ridden Ragbri a few times and wanted to do something kind of crazy. And so they decided to we're from Perry, and so they decided to initiate the first ride, and it was a 24-mile round trip in 1978. And so in a week from Saturday, this will be the 40th ride. So we're hoping for a very big celebration.
Yes, and you ride in all kinds of weather, right?
We do. It doesn't matter. There's been blizzards below zero. There's been one day it was in the 60s, believe it or not.
You know, well, I think that's the year that my husband Fritz rode, because I remember he felt like he didn't really deserve his T-shirt.
Yeah, that's the only day we've had it that warm. But it's usually in the 20s to 30s, which is very pleasant for a ride in the winter.
Well, you told me that you had some T-shirts that you're going to give to your father. Is that right?
Yeah, no, he doesn't know about it, so hopefully he's not listening. I did send him a text message last night, but let's hope he's not up early. But I have a he gave me a printout of the front page of the Prairie Daily Chief from 1978 that had a picture of some of the riders standing around prior to the ride, and I was in that picture. So I gave it to a friend of mine a few days ago. He's a graphics designer, and he made up a very nice shirt with the picture, Burr on the front, and then the founders, Jim Wallstrom and Dennis Hurley, on the back. So it turned out really nice, and I think my sister who rides, she's going to get one, and I'm going to get one from my dad and Jim Wallstrom. So it should be a nice surprise.
Well, I'm sorry for the spoiler.
That's quite all right. It'll
well,
be
I'll
fun.
Bet he's surprised now.
Yeah, I think he will be.
Okay. And, well, I just wanted you to come in. And do you, what's the most interesting thing that has happened for Burr?
Well, I would say, I don't remember the year, but Bruce Babbitt, I think he was from Arizona, was running for either Republican or Democratic nomination.
Democratic.
I can't, it's been so long. And he rode that year, and it was bitterly cold. I was really surprised. And the wind was blowing out of the north straight across, and we had some snow. And it was, I mean, we had ski goggles and Sorel boots, and it was a nasty day, but I was impressed that he actually rode. He didn't get the nomination, but I think he surprised a lot of people that he rode that day. But we've had anywhere from 20 people that first ride, upwards of 4,000 several years ago. But there's so many rides now in the winter that we don't get quite the numbers, but it's usually over 1,000.
Our listeners who are interested can go to our website. Same instructions as for the tour of the Mahaney Bell Tower. You just press Read Me, and you can see it's, 10 to 7 on the February 4th?
On February 4th. Yeah, 10 to whenever. It's a 24-mile round trip, so it's 12 miles to Rippey. Then you turn around, you come back. So it depends on, you know, I encourage people, it's not about the ride, it's about the stop. So take your time, enjoy it, a lot of conversation. It's truly a mini Ragbri. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, and the first bike ride of the year in
Yes,
Iowa.
Yes, it is. Kind of the official kickoff.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, thank you for having me.
We have Clark Ford and Doug Gentile.
Uh-huh.
And you.
Some of you may not be familiar with Doug without Tom, because some of you are probably regular listeners to the Tom and Doug Show at 11:30 on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
But now we have Clark and Doug. Now, what's going on with that?
Well, we have a great show. We have a comedy show for Ames on February 3rd. That's Friday night. And also February 5th, Sunday afternoon. This is a show called Laugh Out Loud. And the idea is it's just comedy in the style of everything between Laugh-In and Saturday Night Live. We have a huge cast, and our show is hosted by Tom and Doug from KHOI radio fame.
It's true. Tom is flying, as many of our listeners know. Tom lives in New Jersey and yet does the show from KHOI here weekly. And it is KHOI's first, and I think still only, nationally syndicated show coming out of our studios and going across the Pacifica network. And Tom is coming in to help co-host the Laugh Out Loud show, which features an amazing amount of local talent.
We are doing skits. We are doing a few monologues. We're doing jokes. We're doing songs. Everything is geared to be funny, and so that hopefully people will laugh out loud.
Or at least text it. You know, you're sitting there. I mean, with modern millennials, you know, we don't expect them to actually laugh out loud. No one does that anymore, do they?
I do.
LOL.
Yeah. See, that's, they'll just say that, and that'll be fine.
Actually, I heard a story about a woman whose daughter kept sending her LOL in a text, and so she thought it meant lots of love. And so she kept misappropriately texting LOL.
Those types of malapropisms make up good comedy, I think. And in a time like this, you know, where many of us feel unsure, many of us feel like the future's kind of scary, that's the exact perfect ripe time for comedy. Tom and I sometimes talk on our show about, you know, what is it that makes comedy? His view is it has to do with truth. That comedy always has some hidden truth in it. Mine is it usually has fear in it. And
boy, what a time for those.
This is going to be freaking funny.
Hey, I'm thinking that comedy is healing, and healing is something that we really need at this time. I think we just need to be able to laugh and unwind a little bit, even in the face of, what may be a tough time for people.
And I think, people often in this culture misunderstand healing. They tend to think of it in terms of trying to get over whatever, get past whatever bad thing has happened to them or thing they're scared of. But in fact, the root is whole, right? We're becoming whole. We're not trying to get rid of those difficult things. We're trying to understand how to accept them as part of our real reality. And so it is through this type of thing where we're bringing the whole community together. How many people are in this cast, Clara?
Well, I think there's about 19 people involved in this show. It's huge. Oh, I get to play Trump too. Oh, but I get to play a number of great roles. I get to play George Bailey, and I get to play God, and I get I get to play a number of things.
There's the cast we've got. We've got Trump, everyone from Trump to God coming to perform at this show.
Well, it's appropriate that it is into places of spiritual centeredness.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is at the Unitarian Fellowship or the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship on February 3rd at 7:30.
So that's a Friday night?
Friday night, yes. Mm-hmm.
And the proceeds from the show will all go to benefit Access, the community women's shelter here. So it's not only a good night for you to come be part of the community, but also to be helping to build the community as well. And then we have a second performance. Did you want to talk about that one?
Well, why isn't Clark? That's
yes,
his,
our second
history.
Our second performance is Sunday afternoon at 2:00 at Unity Church of Ames. That's at 9th and Kellogg in Old Town.
And now people may recognize that Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, but the game's really late. So you can come to this in the middle of the afternoon when, the commercials haven't really started yet. And then go home and, go to your party.
And you won't miss the game. It's exactly. A pregame, a comedy pregame.
You should televise it. No, I won't say – no, I don't say it. We've had too many national shows recently on KHOI. In connection with the inauguration and so forth. We can save this just for Ames. Laugh out loud.
That's right. That's right. It's a local show. We'd love for folks to come out, show support for the community, have some laughs. There will be all kinds of comedy. Some of it is satire. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, we'll have some political comedy. We'll have some classic comedy.
Just goofy.
And we'll have real people there, not the kind that are flat on your screen.
Yeah, real people and Tom.
Okay.
And how much are tickets?
It's free will donations. Thanks for asking. Yes. So please come with a generous heart, laugh out loud, and contribute to Access.
Okay. I see that, Doug, you have an instrument in your lap.
I have. I have an instrument in my lap.
And I imagine that it's not just to...
No, it just makes me look cool.
But this is radio. Nobody but me can see how... And Greta and Gina can see how cool you look.
They can tell. And besides, as a heterosexual man, just being in a room with three women and looking cool, that's actually good enough for me. I don't need it to be more than that at this moment, although I'm happy for it to be.
On the other hand, most people who come into this studio with instruments have an idea that they might play them. Do you have a song for us?
Well, we do have a song for us. That's not one of the songs from the show. But it does kind of give a sense of, what the show is all about. And I will note, as you're listening to this very well-known song, that Tom and I are going to be debuting a couple brand new songs for this new modern age in which we live at the Laugh Out Loud show. So including the song that saves the world. So.
Oh.
And this song is entirely unrehearsed. So this is Doug with audience participation, and I think I'm the audience. So,
well, no,
so
all of you are.
Oh, good, good. We're all audience.
What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Yeah, probably. Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with little help from my friends. I get high with little help from my friends. I'm gonna try with little help from my friends. What do I do when my love is away? Does it worry you to be alone? How do I feel at the end of the day? Are you sad because you're on your own? Oh, I get by with little help from my friends. I get high with little help from my friends. I'm gonna try with little help from my friends. Do you need anybody? I need someone to love. Could it be anybody? I want somebody to love. Ooh, I get by with little help from my friends. Get high with little help from my friends. Gonna try with little help from my friends. Yes, I get by with little help from my friends. With little help from my friends.
Woohoo! Yes, and do you know what I thought as soon as I heard you start singing that?
I'm Paul McCartney.
He is Paul McCartney in the show.
Well, what I thought is we have on Wednesday mornings at, from 11 to 12, we have a show called Mop Tops and the King. And play, of course, renditions of the Beatles, beyond the Beatles. They, I think, say they now have 30 shows, hour-long shows, without a single repeat. So they're always looking for new material. And I hope this recording is good enough to send to them. And then you will have a worldwide audience because Steve Shemsford has a fairly decent following. And he also has – there's a sister station in Shemsford, England. So who knows?
So do you want to know a little trivium about this song? The original lyric was, you know, what would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you throw a tomato at me? And Ringo said, I am not singing that.
Are you sure it wasn't a tomato?
It would have been tomato for him, yes. Okay.
But I wanted to say that we have a skit.
Let's call the whole thing off.
We have a skit in Laugh Out Loud. It's called Musical Jeopardy. And so there's three musicians that have to answer questions in song, right? And they are Paul McCartney, Nobel laureate Bob Dylan, and Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. And needless to say, things get carried away musically. Because, of course, it's a comedy mm-hmm. show.
And other highlights that you know, the 50th anniversary of Star Trek was this past year. And so we've got a Star Trek skit plus.
That's Star Trek meets Star Wars.
Yes, it is. So. And Star Wars has been rebooted as well. So it's perfect time for the geeks to come out. One of the geeky things is Tom and I did some research. And we discovered the original lyrics to the theme song of Star Trek that never aired on television. And when you hear them, you will understand why they never aired on network television. They're really bad.
We have lots of people who are playing roles from Laugh-In. We have Tiny Tim. We have Goldie Hawn. We have Joanne Worley. We have Ruth Buzzy. We have Artie Johnson. So we've got just a fun show, just every kind of variety of comedy.
It sounds like a not to miss. Is there an acronym for that for Facebook, like LOL?
Well, I think culturally it's the FOML, you know, the fear of missing out, that you don't want to miss this one because then, you know, you'd be a loser. I think there's a technical term nowadays, right?
Yeah, well.
Or a political term.
That is a political term. We also have Garrison Keillor, who's going to be on the show. So,
wow, what an all-star cast. And I just thought the scheduling is perfect. You could go on Friday night to the Unitarian Fellowship, mm-hmm. and then you could get up early and go over to Perry and start on Burr. And yeah. you could ride Burr, and then the next day, to really warm you up, you could go to the Unity Church of Ames and see how much the show has changed.
And when I heard about Burr, I was thinking, Hamilton, yeah. you know, are you going to ride Burr, sir?
So we do have a song from Hamilton in
we
the show.
We do. We do have a song from Hamilton.
See how topical this program is going to be? Is everything in all the culture you've loved for the past 50 years, basically, all wrapped up on Friday, February 3rd at 7:30 at the Unitarian Fellowship here in Ames, or on Sunday, February 5th at 2 o'clock at Unity Church here in Ames.
Will there be any kind of beverages or anything, or can people bring?
There will be intermission, and coffee and cookies will be served. So thank you for bringing that up.
And if you don't like our cookies, you can bring your own. So you bring your own cookie party too. So.
And approximately how long does it last?
Well, we're thinking it'll be a full length show. I mean, it's going to go fast. Everything has been geared for timing and
timing.
So we're thinking probably an hour before intermission and an hour after.
And is it safe to just go to the door and get your tickets, or
it's free admission?
Right.
This is a free will donation.
Okay, but these are not things we can say on the air.
We can't say that.
No. That's one of the things. The FCC has 7 words we can't say plus free.
So it's a charity event to support Access, the local women's shelter here in Ames.
Yes. And there may even be some rules about that, but...
You know, the deregulation that's about to come our way
that's right.
is going to be a benefit for that, because, you know, then we can finally say those 7 words.
Oh, well, some people tried it already in Washington, as you may recall. Do you have any more? We have a couple minutes.
Well, I'm not sure if everyone knows Clark Ford here, but you know, Clark is a real asset to this community. And it's interesting to notice how much talent. I think we sometimes focus in, like with the Maximum Ames Music Festival, on how many great musicians there are. If we walk across the street here from the fabulous Pantorium building over to the Octagon, we can notice the visual artists. But we also have a number of performance artists. And Clark has, for many years now, written and produced a full-length musical show. And this year he's moving away from the musicals, but to kind of this more team-based comedy show. But one of the things that I think it's going to highlight is, again, just how much talent there really is here in Ames, that often, they're not showing up at DG's Tap House. The people who are going to be performing at this may not be on kind of the radar of where all the hip kids are going to see the music these days, but it just it takes a talent like Clark's not only to be able to envision this big picture, but then to pull together the cast to be able to do it.
Well, we just have wonderful people. As Doug said, there is a lot of talent. People are involved in all kinds of organizations, and they have written their own skits. They have directed their own skits. They've brought these things to the show. It'll be like a variety show.
And the really great thing is you don't have to be over 60 to participate, as you do for senior varieties.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is another very popular thing in Ames. But I've heard people say, "Oh, I'm 60. I can be in senior varieties. Now you don't have to wait."
We are hoping that this will be successful and that we can do something like this again next year and maybe every year. It's a great time of year, with it cold out to have comedy.
I think that it is time for us to leave you. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio.
I have been listening to it.
Well, great. A plug. What do you want to say?
Hey, I think that people should join me. Yes, that's Doug. He had three quarters of the Tom and Doug show telling you that you need to support your local community station, KHOI 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames, and surrounding community with an ongoing pledge. I give $30 a month to the station. I invite you to join me and continue to support this resource that very few communities, not just in Iowa, but in the country have.
Thank you. Our guests today were, in addition to Clark Ford and Doug Gentile, were Pat Richards, Don Van Gilder, Roger Agerter, Peg Rainey, and Deb McGinn, Jib Hurley, telling us about the 40th Burr Bike Ride to Rippey, and, of course, you've already heard from Doug and Clark. And we are your hosts for today, Gina McAndrews and Susan Franzen.
Local Talk will be rebroadcast at noon and 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. Thank you to Ron Carson for taking care of the technical details of these posts with information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. And, of course, you can like us on Facebook and get updates on all of our show postings in your news feed.
Local Talk was engineered by Greta Anderson. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was This Town Is Changin' by Art Elliott from their CD and live.
A little help from our friends.
That's right. Live in the studio with Doug Gentile and Clark Ford, we heard from the Beatles.
And I bet you were singing along too, weren't you? Yeah, admit it. Yeah, I saw you.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, please contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or, of course, contact us through our website at khoifm.org.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.
Every time I come back home, I see that things are changing. From my family to old school friends I haven't seen since graduation. Please excuse the old cliche. Seems like only yesterday I was there, riding my bike around the square. I may come back only once a year, but I feel I never left. It's where my childhood is kept. I've got some things in a box upstairs, but it's all over town. All I've got to do is look around. But Lincoln Way feels a mile too short. Where the school was stands a food court. And all my old friends have long since moved away. This town is changing, but let my memory stay. age has got a new coat of news. Kids I never knew. Scratch away 10 years or more, you might find my name too. You know how years accumulate, just like coats of old spray paint, they're still there. Memories linger after me. I may not feel that sticky sweat from the old summer sun. Remember we had fun. May not drive just for something to do on a Sunday afternoon. Just go when the angel to moon. The Lincoln Way feels a mile too short. Where the school was stands a food court. And all my old friends have long since moved away. This town is changing, but let my memory stay. There'll come a day when my childhood is someone else's. Will I stop or drive on by? I can almost hear their voices.